What would you do if you knew that you could not fail? What would you attempt? What would you try if failure was not an option? You know, life coaches and motivational speakers often will ask this hypothetical question. The idea is to get you to look at your life and discover those epic dreams that you have for yourself that make you afraid to go after. You may have heard this question before, but have you ever thought of, thought the answer? What challenge would you take on if you knew that you couldn't fail? Hello and welcome. This is a Monday Morning Mindset. I'm Eric Dieter, your host. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. And this place, Monday Morning Mindsets, where I share tips and tricks, mindset things to help you do better with your week, with your life. Star Trek VII. It was called Star Trek Generations. It was a film put out in 1994, part of the Star Trek series. And if you are a Star Trek fan, you might agree with me to think it was probably one of the worst Star Trek movies that ever hit the series. But of course, I watched it. I mean, I'm a Star Trek fan, and I sat through, and it was like I got done. I was like, well, that was not as good as the rest of them, but it was still Star Trek and had my favorite characters. In the movie, Star Trek Generations, Captain Kirk, William Shatner, was stuck in an alternate dimension. And he was stuck there for a long time, and everyone thought he was dead. Well, Captain Picard, the new Star Trek Enterprise, the new captain of Star Trek Enterprise, somehow ended up going into this alternate dimension to get him. And there's a scene in this movie where Captain Kirk is riding a horse and he jumps over a gully. And then he turns around and jumps over a gully again. And Captain Picard comes riding up and they have this conversation. And Kirk says, I've jumped over that gully 50 times and it scared the hell out of me every time. Except for this one. And the conclusion was, this was the sticking point between Picard and Captain Kirk, was that the dimension that they were in, that none of what they were doing was really real. And the reason that Kirk knew that it wasn't real is because he could jump over this thing that scared the hell out of him every time, and this time it didn't. So back to my original question. What would you attempt if you knew that you couldn't fail? Think about this question for a minute. What would you attempt if you knew you could not fail? Now, I want you to notice something here. I asked you to think about the question. I didn't ask you to come up with an answer to the question. See, the way our minds work is that when you encounter a question, when someone asks you a question, your mind immediately, boom, jumps on it and starts to try to come up with an answer. So those questions tend to bypass our critical thinking. And this works great for salespeople. If you've ever walked through, been walking through a place where someone is trying to sell something. I mean, there are a lot of stores will have, a display and someone's trying to sell you some sort of a service or some sort of a product. And they're standing there and they try to catch your eye. Usually the first word out of their mouth is, "Hey, I have a quick question for you." And that you feel compelled to answer. I mean, even if you don't want to talk to the person, even if you know they're going to try to sell you something, when they ask you that question, "Hey, I have a quick question," that word, that phrase will trigger something in your mind that makes you compelled, almost compelled, to answer them. Now, I know this. I know this trick. I know how my mind works. And so I just kind of wave my hand and go on. I don't even try to respond oftentimes. And it's not rude. I just don't have time to try to tell them, no, I don't want to buy whatever you're selling. But back to the idea of the question. When you are presented with a question, if a coach or a motivational speaker, someone says to you, what would you attempt if you knew you couldn't fail? Most of the time, you start thinking about an answer to the question and you don't step back and say, wait a minute, is this even a valid question? See, if you question the question, you'll realize that the risk of failure has to be there if you want to feel the joy of success. That's the reason I told the story about James Kirk and Captain Picard and the horse jumping over the horse jumping over the gully. He wasn't scared because he knew he couldn't fail. He knew that they were in an alternate dimension, and it was a memory he was reliving. But the place he was in, he couldn't fail. So, you know, imagine how you feel. If you really think about this question, think about the question, is this question even valid? If you know, think about it for real, if you really couldn't fail, how would you feel about the results that you got? Now, I know that there are some people who would be satisfied because, you know, we hear stories about people cheating, and especially runners. I hear about runners who they cut the course, or they're riding in the cars. I heard about one runner that got caught hiding in one of the portable outhouses until the rest of the racers came by, and then she jumped out and was, you know, placed very, very high because she had been waiting. She hadn't run the whole course. And I don't understand that, because the appeal of running, and especially for us who are run ultramarathons, is the fact that they're hard. When you run an ultramarathon, it requires the best that you have, and you still have a high risk of failure. So, you know, I don't understand, you know, people who get rides in cars, and I've heard, you know, heard some one of the people on who was on this podcast said that they never saw the runner that they were running against pass them on the trail, but she passed this runner a couple of times, and she kind of suspected that the runner might be getting a ride and pulling ahead just a little bit, and was cheating. And I thought, why, if you're doing this, I mean, you're not getting paid, there's no financial reward, it's only the being able to say, I ran this ultramarathon, I did this thing, I accomplished that. If you're cheating to get to that, it's the same kind of thing of, well, you know, you cannot fail. So is your victory, is your accomplishment worth anything if there's not a risk of failure? So I want you to forget about this no failure question, because, you know, it's really not valid. Here's a question that I think will maybe help get you farther down the road than this, you know, what would you attempt if you couldn't fail? How about this question? What would you be willing to attempt that will require you to dig deeper inside yourself than you've ever done before, and it still offers a certain amount of risk that you could fail anyway? That's a question that I think would get you farther, because that would really, really find out what you're willing to commit to, what you're willing to work for. See, if you have guaranteed results, why work? I mean, why would you even, it's not something you have to strive for. That's why I say that question, you know, questioning the question, and that's really not valid. Except as maybe kind of an intellectual exercise, and I'm not sure how good it is even for that. But this question, what would you be willing to go after that's going to require everything you've got, and you still might fail anyway? There is a race among ultramarathon runners. If you've been running ultramarathons very long, and if you're new to the sport, you may not have heard about it, but you will, because this race, the Barkley Marathons, is kind of like one of a kind. The Barkley Marathon started in 1986 down in Tennessee. It is a 100-mile race, and the race director designs it to be almost impossible. In fact, since 1986, only 15 people have finished the Barkley Marathons. The 100 miles. It is a tough race. It is designed to be hard. Every year, hundreds of people apply to try to run this. And Lazarus Lake he's the race director. I heard him interviewed. In fact, you can find that. You can find, if you want to watch a documentary about the Barclay Marathons, it's called The Race That Eats Its Young. Can't remember whether it's on, I think Amazon Prime might have it. I mean, it's out there. So you just do a search, The Race That Eats Its Young. Lazarus Lake, he did an interview in that documentary. I heard him say, and this quote, he said, "Something inside all of us craves an almost impossible challenge." There's something inside us as human beings that needs to have something that we go after, something that is almost impossible. And the harder it is, the bigger the reward, the bigger the feeling of accomplishment. So how will you answer this question? What would you be willing to attempt that would require you to dig deep and still perhaps fail? I talk a lot here about living an epic life. This is what I'm talking about. The epic life is one that requires you to find more strength inside of yourself than you ever imagined. You have that strength. All of us have that strength. We can do more than we ever thought possible. You can do more than you can imagine. But you won't reach that potential if you're answering the question, "Oh, let me find something that I can't fail at." So what is it you will attempt? What is the thing that you'll attempt that will demand your absolute best? It may not be running. It may not be endurance sports. Maybe your epic thing is being the kind of dad or mom that you never had. Maybe it's starting your own business. Maybe it's doing volunteer work. Maybe it's running for office and jumping into the political arena. What is that thing that you know deep inside that is that epic thing that would require your best, that you'd be willing to risk failure for? I believe that you'll know it when you answer that question. What is it that is worth the risk of failure? Because failure is an option, and failure is not final. Failure is not a bad thing. It is what makes the reward of success and victory that much better. If you would like some help, if you'd like to find out how you can get started going toward your epic thing, I'd be glad to help you. Reach me at ultramindsetpodcast.run, ultramindsetpodcast.run. And you can message me, you can schedule free 25-minute mindset reset call. I'd be glad to talk to you and help you get started. Thanks again for listening. I'll see you next time.